風に寄って携帯忘れて乗り遅れた鈍行の窓に映る人生寝込んで誰にも負けない一つがあるにはあるけど悲しいから人知れずだけども早くは走れない
Saturday at the Baltimore Convention Center.
We did that last year.
You did that last year.
I did, with you.
You can't expect me to remember last year. That was like a whole year ago.
God damn it, Jed.
Anyway, first thing Saturday morning, I went to the Impact of Evangelion, which was that Alex guy that I went to a bunch of his panels.
Dude, this guy has a hard-on for Alex, man.
He had good panels.
You should really go to his blog, Department of Alchemy.
I probably eventually will. Anyway, he did the Impact of Evangelion, which was actually really interesting. He made the argument that part of the reason for that Evangelion was so popular was because it sucked people in at the beginning and then massively pissed them off. That basically, you know, he did a really good job of explaining what it would have been like to be, you know, a Japanese anime fan in 1990, whatever it was, five, when Evangelion was first airing on television, and you're like, what the hell? Why is there a line going across the screen? You know, we're not even talking episode 25, 26. We're talking episode like 12 or 14, where it's like, what the hell? He's on the damn train again. They're reusing stock footage. And now there's a freaking line going across the screen. What the hell?
Yeah, today's what the hell is. Why are we still watching Haruhi?
Yeah, Haruhi is pretty much attempting to do the same thing now, I think. Is actively trying to piss off the fans in the hope of getting press and getting attention.
It only worked well once, and it was on accident.
Yeah, because the thing is, Evangelion wasn't really trying to piss people off. They were just trying to find a clever way to deal with the fact that they blew their whole budget.
Sometimes Gainax never did it cleverly. Karakano, cough. Karakano, cough.
Karakano was not a budget thing so much as an ego thing. Hideaki Anno believed that as the director of Evangelion, he should be able to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And the writer of the manga his show was supposed to be based on felt differently. And bad things happened, ultimately resulting in Anno quitting and doing live-action movies for, like, a decade.
I want to point out the paper-cut episode of Karakano. In fact, I have to show
right.
you that one,
you know,
episode.
I think this is one of those cases where Evangelion totally went to Anno's head.
But of course, will we ever really, really know? I think so. Let's do some research.
Yeah, we could do that. But anyway, the Impact of Evangelion thing was really cool. Got to see some interesting, obscure stuff, like the hilariously epic Evangelion pachinko commercials, in which involve a badly CG'd Ava 1 transforming into a pachinko machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You know that Gurren Lagann... thingy with the pachinko. Is it parroting that?
Quite possibly.
Because if it was like side... If it was a parody of that, I would be like, whoa.
And yeah. Apparently, there's a $900 Evangelion-themed cell phone that's not like a super special awesome like iPhone or something. It's just a cell phone that happens to be Ava themed, and it's $900, and they were released to coincide with the new Ava movie, and they sold out.
Would you buy it?
Hell no.
What if it was like an iPhone?
I've never paid money for a cell phone in my life, and I never will.
What if it was like an iPhone? Or what if it was an iPhone? But
I don't really want an iPhone. I want a cell phone that makes calls. My cell phone actually sounds like a phone when someone calls me, okay? I am not a gadget geek at all. Like, I have a DS. That's the closest thing to a gadget I carry around.
You have a laptop.
I do have a laptop, but that's not a gadget, that's a computer.
That's a tool.
Yeah. I do not own an iPhone, I do not own a Kindle, I do not own any, like, happy gadgets, because, frankly, video games and anime are expensive enough. I don't need to be on the bleeding edge of technology getting cut by things that haven't been adequately tested. Anyway, yeah. After that...
Well, you were at that. I was preparing myself to look elegant, beautiful, and all black and frilly for the Ultimate Lolita Fashion Show. I wanted to wear my goth Loli outfit to go see it. And it showcased all the Western designers of the goth Loli style. And it was wonderful. There was a lot of things that I wouldn't even think of putting on a dress or wearing with a dress or making a dress out of. I especially like the Vivian Westwood inspired one. Oh, and man, I will post links to the pictures. Not my pictures, but someone took a picture of all of it. And it was like, whoa. And it was really well done. It was in the New Hilton, which was a huge room, and it needed that huge room. I kind of wish that they could have set up a runway of some sort, maybe got a bunch of tables together or something, or took pieces of a stage and made a real runway. That would have been awesome. But then again, they had to walk all the way down the whole room, so everyone would be able to see it. But yeah, I saw that, talked fashion with Chelsea, went shopping for kimonos, kind of failed again this year, because you could find a nice print, but you can't find a good obi belt. What is wrong here? And then they give you this little sash to go with it, but that sash sucks. And it's usually an ugly color, like brown, or bright neon green. What is the problem with you kimono sellers, or yukata sellers? I just want something decent looking.
So... after, I have absolutely no idea what I did for a while there. I think maybe I hung out at the manga library or something.
And how was the manga library? It looked smaller this year.
Same every year.
But it looked like it was smaller.
Nah. It's the same every year, really.
Same selection?
Pretty much. I mean, it's a huge selection, so it's entirely possible that they've added dozens of new manga. How would I know? It's not, you know, because they had hundreds to begin with. So, I think I read some Sergeant Frog.
Oh, how'd you like it? I started reading it a while ago.
Eh.
What do you mean, eh? It's pretty funny.
Not for me, I think. And then I went to, anime.
Anime's craziest deaths?
No. I went to the Anime and Academia panel. I forget exactly what it's called, and you took the paper away from me, so I can't find
it. Anime and Manga Studies?
Yes, that would be it. That was another really good panel.
By the guy who stole my boyfriend?
Ha ha ha. Actually, it was by about four people.
Including the guy?
Mix of people. Including, the guy. That Alex guy, who was kind of moderating. That was interesting, because mostly they talked about, like, the growth of anime as an academic thing that you can study. And they took questions from the audience, which was kind of interesting. Like, there were a couple of teachers trying to get how to get anime into their curricula. There was a lot of talk about, you know, for example, one of the guys is actually a history professor that got into anime in a really weird way, because he was actually doing originally Cold War studies, and then somebody showed him Akira in the 80s, and he was like, holy crap, this is everything I'm talking about in Cold War studies. It's all the Cold War stuff in this weird cartoon thing. Maybe I should find out more about this. And he ended up doing, like, changing his concentration for his graduate degree and getting out of Cold War studies, which turned out to, and getting into talking about anime, which turned out to be a really good plan, because Cold War studies suddenly became a much less exciting field when the Cold War ended.
Obviously.
And yeah, it was a really interesting panel. I still need to pick up some copies of Mechademia. I may attempt to write up something based on my panel for them.
Why not? You have the skills. You're a technical writer.
Yeah, apparently there is an academic journal for anime.
Well, I knew of Mechademia for a long while. I just never mentioned it to you because I'm an asshole. I'm sorry. It's not like it's in the tip of my mind all the time, Jed.
And yeah, it was an interesting panel. Then what happened?
We tried to get into Anime Craziest Deaths. I tried to meet you and Cecily in line. We failed because we were turned away.
Which is probably a good thing, because the panel ended up being shut down after the first clip.
Second clip, I think.
Because, well,
Daryl Surratt.
Because the dude showed deaths from a porno.
It wasn't the porn! It wasn't the hentai! It's not, technically.
No, but only because not even the Japanese could whack off to it.
I mean, come on. Okay, here's the description of the clip. I may post a link to the clip, but I will warn you, the link is super not safe for work. Don't watch it if you're squeamish. And I can't believe I was actually seen this while I was younger and was kind of desensitized to it already. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? You don't need a description of the clip after that. Let's just leave it at that. It was some pretty messed up stuff. And
it was just,
dude apparently just too, somehow thought he could show this at, like, noon.
Dude,
at Otakon.
It was, one, it was just a monster in a weird BDSM outfit who happened to have boobs. Some female weird monster. Two, he gave them a complete description. He even said it was R-rated in his description. He talked to them about this. So he fully described this to panel ops.
Don't interrupt me.
Don't interrupt me. Okay. He totally described this. You know how panel ops was this year. In fact, we're going to get on that later when we finish our little things we did at the con, because there's a lot to say about this con and when the different experiences, you know, we got with panelists. They didn't really read anything. I don't even think they really read the description he gave them. It's partially Otakon's fault, but it's also partially his fault for, well, not marketed 18+. Well, hopefully we'll see that the next Otakon, because I really want to see the rest of this panel. Well, I only saw that one clip that someone linked to, but I do want to see the panel. It sounds like an awesome panel. It sounds like I shouldn't eat before said panel, or maybe I'll eat during it just to freak people out. Something disgusting to eat during it. Lasagna, yes! Okay, if that panel is done next Otakon, I'm bringing lasagna. I'm going to do it. We both have to eat it. Front row, man. We got to do it. Pinky swear. Okay. You be Kiri. But anyway, the whole internet said something about it already. It was all over the Twitter that day. Everyone said their piece about it. But, yeah. Besides, after that, lunch, more goth lonely up, got some pictures taken, and then I was brushing and basically ripping my hair out because I was nervous.
Well, before that, before you did your panel, I went and saw Gunbuster at the recommendation of the Mecha Appreciation Panel.
And
it was completely awesome.
Now, OVA or movie, which is...
This was the compilation movie.
Of the OVAs?
Of the OVAs.
I think I have the OVAs.
We should watch the OVAs. I would be interested to see them. Basically, this was Hideaki Anno's directorial debut. And it's actually a very... In its own very weird way, it's got a lot of parallels to Evangelion. Right down to the weird, I think it's a clarinet solo for emotional moments. You know, like, there were musical similarities to Evangelion. There was the whole, you know, showing of a mecha pilot freaking the hell out. But this was... And there was... It was clearly an attempt to combine super robot and real robot elements. But it was done very differently than Evangelion. In this case, it was more or less... Real robot Earth gets invaded by super robot aliens, and so they build a super robot, and everything goes crazy. Main difference is Gunbuster is way more upbeat than Evangelion. It's hard to be less upbeat than Evangelion. I suppose you could watch Berserk or something if you wanted less upbeat than Evangelion. But this was way more upbeat and had... comparable quantities of boob.
Yeah, and during that I was still freaking out because I was like, oh my god, I forgot to do this for my panel. Hurry up, dozen hotel room. Oh yeah, Radisson, thank you for having free Wi-Fi. I love you. We're staying there again. Otaku TV, the panel I did at AUSA before, and I did not do it at Katsucon. I will do it at Katsucon. It went off nicely. I had more clips because I've seen much more anime. In fact, that's the only reason why I watched through Lucky Star, because I wanted to talk about it in the panel, but I would have had to watch it first.
Well, and you don't have to watch things in order to talk about them. It just helps.
Shut up, Chad.
I mean, I'm sure I could say a lot of interesting things about Naruto right now, and I've never seen an episode of Naruto.
I actually watched first season.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
I have pain. But, yes, I rechanged it. I totally did an overhaul. I switched up some clips, added some new ones, took out some. I added the fact that a lot of these otaku anime have certain tropes in them. And I started with the Patient Zero Otaku no video. Because I looked. I didn't see any other otaku show before that. So I started with Patient Zero and named some of the tropes after that. Some of the tropes are named after other things, such as the pusher robot, Tanaka of Otaku no Video. You know, the fat guy with that shirt.
In discussion after the panel, which Vika was not privy to because she was busy setting up for her next panel, her friends and I... all agreed unanimously that of our circle of friends, Vega is the pusher robot.
Damn straight! I tried to get my friends to watch Girl Who Left Through Time, and I successfully got Vance to watch it before and at the marathon.
And he was very angry.
Yes, but he enjoyed it. He even cried. I just had to say there was boobs in it.
There are no boobs in Girl Who Left Through Time.
But she was. Well, there were bath scenes.
Presumably there are boobs because there are female characters, but there exactly. are no visible boobs.
Exactly. So I got him on that.
And then again, they are Japanese girls, so...
Hey. Shut up. I wish I had a flat chest. I'm tired of these boobs.
I'm not.
I hate you. But, yes, and, you know, the Ueno Yoshiko, which is that girl... usually the girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or childhood friend who's a girl who likes him, just is not into the stuff. You may know her also as the Saki Kasakabe, the Mizuki.
This is the girl that does not exist in real life. All the other cliche characters of standard otaku TV, you can find real life examples, but there has never in the history of man actually been a...
Ueno Yoshiko?
There has never actually been...
A Saki Kasakabe?
A fashionable, wealthy, popular girl who really likes this nerd guy. If only she could get him to stop being her. No. That is something that only happens in things written by nerds.
Wait a minute. But I dated guys who weren't otaku and kind of didn't like how, you know, how way into anime I am.
That's different.
How is it different?
Because it's just reversed the genders.
No, no, it's because it's different. It's male Saki Kasakabe. I dated male Saki Kasakabes.
Yes, I said there is no such thing as a woman who does that.
Okay, but they probably exist.
No.
I mean, I'm sure some...
The closest thing you get is women who have heard that geek guys tend to make lots of money. So they try to find a... You know, they tend to make... So they try to find a geek guy that they can, you know, predate upon. You got a few of those on the geek dating websites, but that's not really the same thing.
I don't know. I think there is a Mizuki, a Saki Kasakabe out there who has this really nerdy guy that she likes, but because he's handsome and, you know, kind of cool, but at the same time is a super nerd, has super nerdy friends. She wishes she wasn't a super nerd, but yet she either... So she breaks up with him or yet tolerates it and then learns to love it also.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Okay, what about the Nogizaka Haruka situation? It's, you know, when... that never happens. I'm not even going to argue that.
That's a moe show.
It is a moe show. It has lots of bad episodes, but it has some good episodes and good messages, and animation's pretty decent. And Nogizaka Haruka can kick Makuru's ass because she actually has skills. Well, it's true. She's basically Makuru, but is useful. And useful for doing things.
Well, now, hang on a second, because I've read, I think, 6 of the Haruhi novels at this point, and I think I agree with the speculation that Makuru is either playing the moe role to get close to Kyon, or her superiors, by which we probably mean her older self, have actually brain damaged her to make her more attractive to Kyon.
But wouldn't that mean that future her would be also brain damaged?
No, it's the future. They can repair it.
Damn you, future! And where everyone's a Time Lord and they're moe and... boobs.
Ugh. No, it's just Makuru that's moe, and she has been intentionally made moe. She's either play acting or they've gone into her brain with a scalpel and moeified her in order to make her attractive to Kyon, which lets her get close.
But that's classified! But, okay.
Makuru sucks.
Yeah, she does suck. But anyway, Otaku TV panel was redone, remastered, and came out very awesome, and everyone seemed to enjoy it. I mostly focused on some of the comedic points of each series, because I think the comedy aspect people will be into more and they'll laugh at to be, like, more entertained. Although I did have a few sappy and kind of harsh moments from NHK and Nogizaka. Nogizaka being the sappy one and NHK being the very harsh one.
I like NHK.
NHK is great, but I only like the manga.
Yeah, I haven't really watched the anime. It didn't look that great from what you showed.
It was gonzoatized. It was gonzoed. You know how... You know when we watched Bokurano?
Yeah, no, I know. Really good quality for the first couple of episodes, and then going way off model and cutting corners and hiring cheap-ass Korean...
Animation studios. And then ruining whole episodes that are awesome in story, but horrible in look. Like, the crowning moment of awesome for so many characters was just awful. But yes, and then there was the Genshiken panel! Genshiken! The panel of modern visual culture.
Although, while you were at that, I was off doing anime myths and legends, which was quite interesting, but not very well presented. They did not talk very loudly, and they had huge amounts of information on, you know, they had a very small number of slides with a huge amount of information in annoyingly tiny type on each one. It was not the best put together panel I've been to. And I think they could have done a much better job, honestly.
They probably should have done a better job on their slides, which would have helped. And, of course, speak and pronunciate things I suck at doing. Well, speaking loudly, I think I succeed at.
What are you talking about? You're great at verbal blah, blah, blahs, to quote you from the other day.
Oh, yeah. When I was saying something, trying to speak intelligently, and then I said verbal blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Gedgekin, panel. Oh, yes. I basically got to be a super info dump fangirl Gedgekin clip showing fan bag for like a whole hour. And everyone enjoyed it somehow. I showed basically clips, mostly centering around each character. Talked about each character. Talked about the show, some of the history, some things about the show. A little bit about Kujibiki Unbalanced. I'm really contemplating whether I want to do a Kujibiki Unbalanced panel next year. I'm really thinking about it, but I have to watch that one season they did and read the two manga that I think Del Rey published already. Which was told that there was a special surprise. I think it's a short manga with the Gedgekin panel. I mean, Gedgekin characters in it. So I think I'm going to take a border trip tomorrow. Anyway, it turned out great. I was kind of nervous because I knew that guy would come. Ogawa Maniacs guy who likes Gedgekin as much as I did and read the light novel, which I have not read because it's not translated. I was like, can you translate it for me? I'll PayPal you some monies.
Check Bakatsuki. They might have it.
I looked everywhere, even before the panel, because I wanted to read it so I could talk about it. And I would have stayed up all night reading it just so I could talk about it at the panel. But it was not meant to be. It was not. He told me something about it, but I totally forgot what it was. Now I feel bad. And I forgot his name. I don't even think I asked him. Ogway Maniacs guy, you're awesome. And I read your shits all the time. But, okay. It actually... Both of the panels came out good. I was nervous as hell. It was my first time presenting at Otakon, because last time,
I leave Gunbuster, right? And I'm walking down the hallway to go to her panel, and suddenly she calls me, and she's like, oh, can you come to my panel?
I didn't say that! I texted you! First of all, I texted you! Okay. I just wanted him in the audience for more support, because I was very... shy and, you know, I was
so I get
nervous.
There, and every single one of her friends who was at the con is sitting in the front row.
Look, they weren't there before. They weren't there when I called. Okay, maybe one of them was there, but shut up. it's special because it's you. You're my lovey. I hate you so much. Stop making me look all moe on the show. Damn you. Damn you, make me look all tsundere. Anyway, after that panel, I stayed behind to look at Review Anime the Right Way with Bamboo Dong, Mike Toole, Clarissa from AWO, and Daryl Surratt from AWO. And I was really looking forward to this because, let's face it, you listen to my podcast. I fucking suck. I need to learn. So they gave me some learnings. And now I got some learnings, and now I'm going to try and put it to use. I actually sat in the front row with my laptop typing notes the entire time. I probably looked like a fucking nerd in school, sitting in the front row with my friend Aaron. Not Ninja Consults Aaron, or Weekly Anime Review Aaron. Aaron, the Canadian girl.
Because there is only one Aaron in all of Canada.
Yes, she's the only Aaron in Canada.
It's actually law. Canadians are not allowed to share the same name. There's only one of each.
Yeah, she did Anime Utahime, and then she did Robomiko, and now she's doing a new podcast, which I haven't linked to yet, which I'm going to link to now. She's really cool. We had lots of fun, and we hung out a lot. And
while you were doing that, I was in... Well, it was scheduled as a cult in anime, but that guy bailed. So that Alex guy did...
You mean your new lover?
Yes. Did this other panel on otaku. That was actually quite
entertaining. The problem with otaku?
Yeah, the problem with otaku. That was actually quite interesting because basically it was, you know, the history of the otaku in Japan and the Japanese attitude toward them. And it started with, you know, the emergence of science fiction conventions in Japan, and he just went from there. And he talked about the couple of incidents involving, you know, murderous otaku that kind of got the term a bad rap and kind of created a bit of a moral panic.
Tsutomu Miyazaki.
Yes, no relation to Hayao Miyazaki.
Which was at SDC and we missed it. Damn it.
But he, and, you know, ultimately culminating in now where there's an otaku prime minister, and the Japanese news are talking about otaku as being the ones that are going to save the country from the from its, you know, economic woes by spending $900 on an Evangelion cell phone because they're insane.
Because
the thing is...
I don't know.
Because the thing is, your regular Japanese citizen would rather buy food than cell phones if they had to choose between the two. But if you put Evangelion on a cell phone, otaku will buy it instead of food because they are stupid. And then
I wish I had the resolve to do that. No, oh wait,
don't.
I went out and bought comics yesterday.
No, see,
I know. I'm just playing, Jed.
Yeah,
there's no way I would like not eat for anime unless it was at a con, and I spent it all in the dealer's room. And that dealer's room was a trap this year. Oh my god. I can't believe I spent that much on DVDs. Well, they were each $5, and then 5 for 20. So see, I got 10. And then I got all of Marmalade Boy. And then I got more stuff.
See, the secret to not spending huge amounts of money in the dealer's room at cons...
Not bring
is
it?
...is A, don't go to the dealer's room.
Or don't bring money.
Or B, if you do go to the dealer's room, go with a group... Follow somebody else around, talk to the group the whole time, and never look at what's on sale. I honestly, that one trip to the dealer's room with you and Nate, I have absolutely no idea what any of those stores were selling because I never even looked.
That's because you were talking to Nate the whole time, and I was just dragging you boys around.
Exactly.
Saying, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get this.
Because let's face it. Dealer's rooms at cons are not worth it.
There is nothing you
can get at a dealer's room.
Wait a minute.
With the rare exception of those manga sales that you claim exist that I've never actually witnessed.
Hey, I've got like $2, $1 manga a lot.
In fact,
my shelf is a proof of
that. You know, other than, you know, Sunday night super sales, which are even worse for your wallet because you buy large amounts of stuff that you would never have bought otherwise.
Hey, shut up.
Other than that, there is nothing you can buy in it. There are two things that you simply, they just aren't worth it to do at cons. And both of them, it's because of the internet. It is not worth it to buy anything at a con because, well, internet. You can get everything cheaper on the internet than you can at a con.
Or sometimes free if you want to be illegal.
It is not worth it, except very rarely if there happens to be something showing that you already knew you really wanted to see and there's no, you know, more interesting events going on at the same time. The video rooms at cons are generally not worth it because you've already seen it fansubbed. And you know you've already seen it.
But to defend my dealer's rooming, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a shopaholic for fashion and geek shit. One, okay, what if you don't live near this magical anime store? Or what if you don't like to shop online
Internet.
A lot? Let me finish. What if you don't like to shop online a lot?
Then you're
or
stupid.
What if you just can't find what you're looking for online?
Then you're not going to find it in a dealer's room because if you can't buy it online, it doesn't exist.
That Cell guy doesn't even have a website.
Cells are for stupid people.
I like cells.
Cells are dumb.
I saw
it's
this awesome cell.
It's half a drawing for like $400.
It's not half a drawing, and there's not some of them may be big bucks, but there's cheaper ones like for $40 and $50 I saw that were from anime series from the 90s I enjoyed and loved and would have bought a frame for.
It's stolen. All cells are stolen goods. No exceptions.
Unless they give it to you. They used to give them out a lot.
Not anymore, they don't.
Well, that's because they don't use them. They don't have cells anymore. They haven't had cells for 10 years.
They don't have cells anymore, which means when you're going and buying a cell, what that actually is a freeze frame someone printed out.
No, it's on a fish. It's on the official plastic sheet
The official plastic sheet thing.
And it's painted. You can feel the paint on the back of it.
Not for anything made in the last 10 years. No, there are no painted cells for those.
No, I'm not talking about things in the last 10 years. I'm talking about shit I liked in the 90s that I would like to own a cell from. Like Utena. Why? Or Outlaw Star. Or Sailor Moon.
And that's the last thing. That's the last thing.
Or Slayer.
The good cells are not for sale in the... A, the good cells don't leave Japan. B, they're like $10,000. C... The bad cells, the poster art is going to be better anyway.
I saw pretty good cells for like at least a good 100 and down in that pile.
It just doesn't make any sense to me to buy. And plus, they're tiny.
They're not tiny. They're like the size. Sheet of paper. They're the size of my laptop screen.
Exactly.
Right now.
That's really tiny for art.
I don't know. I'd get a cell. I just want that one cell, or even a background cell, because the background itself is usually like a portrait of art. You know? I hate you so much. You just don't understand me at all, do you?
No.
Yeah, you talked to me about getting that awesome, awesome program.
Hey, it was easy. It was like, okay, how much does that program cost?
Shut up.
Okay, how many manga could you buy for that amount of money? How many hours of entertainment could you buy for that money?
One.
Why would you spend it on something that does nothing?
Because I like it, and it's enjoyable. I like things that make me happy. Is that a problem?
No, we were just making the point that there are other things you could spend that money on that would make you happier.
Like eating at a con?
A, yeah, like eating at the con.
Or buying a goth loli dress.
Yeah.
See, they sold goth loli dress, and you could find those in a dealer's room.
Or online, which is where you got yours.
Yes, but what if they don't have the one online in the dealer's room?
If they don't have it online, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but dealer's room! I'm sorry, I like the dealer's room.
And the last thing is, when you're in a room, you buy things you don't really want.
I wanted everything I bought. Especially the DVDs, because I rarely buy DVDs. And not because I download a lot, because I really don't do that either. I watch a lot of on-demand stuff as well. It's because, I don't know, I had a backlog of things I haven't watched yet.
You see,
and now
she's
sitting here saying
she doesn't buy a lot of DVDs, but I'm looking at the shelf, and it's like all of my DVDs make up less than half a shelf. There are 2.5 filled shelves over there. Can you guess whose all of the other DVDs on there are?
Look, I only have like a good 20 box sets and maybe about 30, 40 single discs.
Right.
That's not a lot.
That's my point.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I've seen people...
It's not a lot. It's not a lot by otaku standards, but by, you know, sane person standards, that is a lot of DVDs.
I read shelf life. I don't have a lot.
I said by sane person standards.
I hate you so much.
So anyway, where were we?
We were talking about...
Oh, yeah, I was talking about the problem with otaku. Interesting panel. Otaku can be relied upon to spend insane amounts of money on stupid things, which the Japanese are banking on to save their economy.
Kind of sounds silly on paper, doesn't it?
But then again, that's what's saving Hollywood in the U.S., is the fact that American nerds will spend crazy amounts of money going to see, you know, Iron Man 6 times.
Hey, we can't say anything. We saw Coraline twice and we saw Watchmen twice.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm making the point... I never said we weren't otaku. We spend large amounts of money on stupid things.
Like seeing movies twice in different theaters. Like IMAX in the Uptown and Friendship Heights.
I mean, come on, I saw Star Trek 3 times.
I saw Star Trek twice, and you saw it 3 times. Yeah, we're nerds.
So between the two of us, we bought 5 tickets to Star Trek.
We're nerds. We're nerds. Are we going to buy the DVD?
Possibly.
Yeah, if there's extras. But okay. While you were doing that, let's see. I already said I went to review Anime the Right Way, and it was awesome. And I learned a lot. What is after that? ... I really... You know what I did?
The next thing I did was go watch Diebuster.
And?
Sequel to Gunbuster is supposedly. Diebuster is like Gunbuster with way more crack. You can tell that they were made like 15 years apart, not just from the visuals, but like story-wise and character-wise. The foul specter of Moe very much hovers over the robot girl.
Oh, you're using the term foul specter of Moe. I'm just saying
it's a good term.
I'm just commenting on how far it has gotten within everyone.
It's a pretty accurate description. Moe is evil, misogynistic, and stupid.
And it has big eyes.
Well,
super big eyes. Bigger than the average anime character.
Anyway, you can definitely sense that. And it's simultaneously weirder and more generic than Gunbuster. It's not really that great. Yeah.
Well, I think I went to an awesome con party that Dave and Joel hosted. It was like my first one that wasn't just me, a few con friends, and just drinking. This time it was like me, some con friends, and a bunch of other people just basically chilling, having a good conversation. Had a lot of fun time. I went with Aaron, the Canadian one, and saw lots of people, like saw AWO guys, Ninja Consultants, Dave and Joel, of course, Mike Tool, a bunch of bloggers like, Reverse Thieves. They're not one person. There's like this tag team blogger, I don't know what you call it. Narutaki Hisui, if I get the names right. I only started reading it like a few weeks ago, prior to the con. But yeah, I was like, man, they have to be like one person. This has to be one person. But no, it's two people. Not one person with a personality disorder. I said that you should take that and make that your alias, your story, that you're really just one person with a multiple personality disorder. It would be awesome. Okay, met me and the next guy again. Some random chicks, some random guys, some Kremlian. But yeah, not bad. I left like maybe around 2, or almost 2, because Aaron's stuff was in our room. It's a long story.